I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. God has helped me overcome an addiction to pornography. My name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Tonight's lesson is the second on Principle 3 and Step 3. Let's read those together. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And the verse, happy are the meek, Matthew 5:5. We made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Thank you. In step one, we admitted we were powerless. In step two, we came to believe that there was a power greater than ourselves. And now in step three, we're being asked to decide. To decide to turn our life and our will over to the care of God. Last week's lesson, Turn, asked us to trust, to understand, to repent, leading a new life. But this is action night. Time to make a decision to open the door to Jesus Christ as your higher power, Lord and Savior. Decisions are sometimes easy to make. Should I throw away my old toothbrush? That's maybe a hard one. Should I save floss and reuse it? Well, that's a no-brainer. And I won't say which way I'm going on that. For most people, that one would be easy. A tougher decision would be whether or not to buy a new car. I don't like my car. It's old. It's not sexy. It's starting to need repairs. It's kind of like looking in a mirror. So let's buy one. But wait, I hate car payments. And we did make a commitment to go to 350,000 miles, but we've had it for 15 years and only has 175,000 miles on it. Do we really want a 30-year-old car? I'll be dead before that. It's an old people's car, but we're old, and it's not sexy, blah, 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 blah. Well, we're still driving it. The truth is that doing nothing is making a decision. We still have the car, so for now the decision is made. So let's go over the acrostic in your handout. The A in our acrostic is for accept Jesus Christ as your higher power and Savior. That's the decision. Doing nothing is making the decision to not accept him. So most 12-step programs encourage you to acknowledge your inability to manage your life and then to acknowledge the existence of a higher power. And they're all good programs, but little is said sometimes about who this is or how to connect with him. So in Celebrate Recovery, we're suggesting that you choose Jesus Christ as your higher power. So I want us to look at the power of Jesus and then look at what accepting him is all about. So first, the power. We know that Jesus was there at creation. Colossians 1:16-17 says this, "For by him all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He was with God at creation, and the one who is actually doing the creating." He continued to have power over earthly things, like when he calmed the water and calmed the storm, walked on water, raised Lazarus from the dead, and helped many other people who were sick. So we've also seen his power in the Old Testament, in Daniel 3. Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to follow a law requiring them to bow down to a giant golden statue. The punishment for this was to be burned in a furnace. They were aware of the law, and yet they refused to worship another god. So they were thrown into the furnace, and it was heated 7 times hotter than usual. The guards that threw them in were burned up, but Jesus was there. After they were in the furnace, the king looked in, and he saw 4 people. The 4th one was described in the Bible as like the Son of God, and not one was burned in that fire. No singed hair, no burned clothes, not even the smell of fire. And this was Christ at work in the Old Testament. We saw Jesus again in Daniel 10:5-6, where he says, Daniel says, "I looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words were like the sound of a tumult." We know this was Jesus because the same description occurs in Revelation 1:13-15. And in verse 18 of Revelation 1, that person refers to himself as the living one. He says, "I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And then we know that he will be coming back. Revelation 19:11 describes this. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. His eyes are a flame of fire. His name is called the Word of God. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, and he will ride with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God. And on his robe he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So this is a powerful picture of Jesus Christ when he comes again. And that's how we're looking at him to be our higher power. One important aspect of Jesus' power is his willingness to sacrifice. Philippians 2:6-7 says this about Jesus. "Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." That's Philippians 2:6-7. So I love to picture all these things when I pray to Jesus. He's so much more than just the sacrifice on the cross, but we're going to talk more about that in a moment. So my prayer is kind of like this. Thank you, Jesus, for being in all of history and showing us all the images of your power in the Bible. You are my higher power. Amen. So of all the things we know about Jesus, the most important to us is that he is God the Son. He was sent here by God the Father to be the sacrifice for the sins of all people going forward. Our lives have crossed paths with his life at the cross. He died for you and he died for me. And all we need to do is believe that he died for our sins and that he was raised from the dead. Again, that's the decision, and that's the action in this lesson. So let's talk about accepting Christ. The theme of the whole Bible is Jesus Christ. In Luke 24:27, after the resurrection, Jesus was walking with 2 disciples. The verse says, "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." The Old Testament predicts the coming of a Messiah, the Christ. In the days leading up to his resurrection, the chief priests asked him, "If you are the Christ, tell us." This is in Luke 23:66-70. He said, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, Are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, Yes, I am. Josh McDowell's famous book, Evidence Demands a Verdict, says this about Jesus' statement that he was Christ. He was either a liar or a lunatic or the Lord, the Christ. So that's the decision, and that's the action we're talking about in this lesson. If your verdict is liar or lunatic, then you've made your decision. But if your decision that he is Lord, it changes everything. Then what is the next step? So now I'm going to jump down to the N. And the N is next step. All we have to do to believe that and then share our belief with someone. Let me say that again. All we have to do is to believe that and share our belief with someone. Believe what? Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And the next verse, Romans 10, 11, goes on, For the scripture says, Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Yeah. According to John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Just before that, in John 3:14 and 15, it says this, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. The serpent referred to in this event is in a passage in Numbers 21. So after the Red Sea crossing, Numbers 21:4 says, The people became impatient because of the journey, and the people spoke against God and Moses. There is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. So Numbers 21, 6 through 9 describes the serpent. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, We have spoken against the Lord. Will you intercede with the Lord so that he may remove the serpents? And Moses interceded. Then the Lord said to Moses, Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So John is saying that Christ dying on the cross is like that serpent being lifted up that saved the people from serpents. Whoever believes will have eternal life. Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. And it was a painful sacrifice. Apart from the physical crucifixion, the pain of a crucifixion, at the end he was separated from and forsaken by God the Father. They were one, but they were torn apart at that moment. Jesus was the one who created all things and who held all things together, and now he was dead. And Matthew 27, 50 through 52 describes this, And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split, and tombs were opened. But after 3 days, his tomb was opened, and God raised him from the dead. As further proof, he was on the earth for close to 40 days after the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8 says, He appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, then to me, Paul. Hit the other Paul, not me. In Mark 16, 19, we see that, quote, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So accepting Jesus as your higher power and Savior is the choice. And as a reminder, the way to do that is in Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's go back to the acrostic, moving back up to the C. The C says it stands for commit to seek and follow his will. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. So we're born with a body and a soul and a dead spirit. And when we accept Christ, our spirit is made whole with the Holy Spirit. But we're trapped in this not-so-holy body and a not-so-holy soul. The not-so-holy soul and body is used in controlling our lives. But the Holy Spirit begins to lead us, and the Holy Spirit will never leave us. That's why it's called eternal life. But the struggle between the holy and the not-so-holy continues until we allow the Spirit to guide us onto level ground. So we need to commit, ask God to teach us to do his will. For me, a big step was principle one, realize I'm not God. I had to recognize that there are areas of my life that I still wanted to control. I'm so thankful that you can't hear what's flying around in my head. You can't handle the truth. So it helps me to keep asking God to teach me. I pray every day for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct my life, and that I would listen to him and follow his direction. Okay, the T. The T is for turn it over. This is what let go and let God is all about. Let go of all things. Proverbs 3:6 says, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. I don't know what everything means to you, but whatever heavy things are burdening you right now, turn it over to God. Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me and I will give you rest, all of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke. Wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you. I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls. Try praying that. God, I want to make a trade with you, a trade that you offered first. You take my burden, and I'll take your yoke on me instead. Please teach me. I know you are gentle and humble and can give me rest. My soul needs rest. Amen. Okay, the I. It's only the beginning. We started this lesson with accepting Jesus Christ as our higher power and Savior. That step is truly only the beginning. Prior to accepting Jesus, prior to accepting Jesus, we're ruled by the flesh, the not-so-holy part. And on your first day as a Christian, you're still not-so-holy. But now the Holy Spirit is beginning to work in you. Before you are, on the day that you accept Christ, you're 100% not-so-holy and 0% in the Spirit. The Spirit in you, even at 0%, is eternal life. So afterwards, the flesh begins to be less in control and the Spirit more in control. So you might be 90% not so holy and 10% Spirit. That's why we say that accepting Christ is only the beginning. We begin to grow in the Spirit, and we'll never be 100% in the Spirit because the flesh and the not so holy is so powerful. We grow in the Spirit through prayer, through Bible study, meditation on the Lord, and fellowship. Let Christ work in you. Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The O is for one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, "So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of you tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." And another version says, "Each day has enough trouble of its own." Make it a priority for today to begin to pray, read the Bible, think about the Lord, and engage with other Christians. If you're ready to accept Jesus Christ as your higher power and Savior, in a minute, we'll pray together. And if you've already taken this step, use this prayer to recommit yourself to continue to seek and follow God's will. So let's pray. Dear God, there are some here this evening that need to make the decision to commit their lives into your hands, to ask you into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. Give them the courage to silently do so right now in this moment. It's the most important decision that they will ever make. And if you are making that decision, repeat this prayer in your heart with me. Dear God, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for my sins so I can be forgiven. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your Spirit in me to direct me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you made that decision just now as we pray, then find someone to tell the good news to you. This is really good news. We want to hear it. Or share it in your small group. But remember, the second half of Romans 10, 9, and 10 is confess with your mouth and you will be saved. And then remember that this decision is the first step, and remember to take it one day at a time. God bless you. Thanks.